Somebody always told me, if you fall flat on your face, at least you were walking forward. All right. Now we have our final speaker for the weekend. It's going to be Raymond Johnson. Let's welcome Raymond.
Good afternoon. How's everyone doing? Man, it was great that he put me on last because he said, and I just thank Kurt. One, let's give him a hand for just having a vision to put all this together. Yeah, it's worth it. This is awesome. I was telling someone last night at dinner that I was glad to be here because we're in an environment that I believe will resemble, look a lot more like heaven than our Sunday mornings do, right? So that's a good thing. And I was glad he put me last. He said, I'm going to put you last because that way you can take as much time as you want. He said, just get us out by 1 o'clock. So, you know. I'm just going to talk from a PowerPoint. So just bring them up, and that's what we're going to talk from. What we're talking about is making disciples starts at home. Look at somebody and say, making disciples starts at home. Now, I used to be a school teacher, so I want to make sure I give my 3 points, right? God's order, we're going to talk about God's order is to follow another man, that we are to be an example, more is caught than taught, and you got to admit you have some faults. Amen? Next slide. Disciple, a personal follower. So when we talk about making disciples, we're going here from Matthew 28:19. He made the statement, go make disciples. That go make disciples, that is a command. That is not a suggestion. And you see that we should understand that God's last command should be our first concern. Because that's the last thing he said. I love what it says here in the Message Bible in that passage. It says, go out and train everyone you meet. Far and near in this way of life. Go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life. And isn't it something that in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way that they should go. So I'm telling you that discipleship starts at home. And when you have your children, we have a command to do and make disciples, to make followers of Christ. But the only way they're going to follow Christ is to follow us. And when we look at that, and it says, train up the child so that near and far, so that he will know the way, so that he can follow you and know the way that he is supposed to go. That is the command that we have, and it starts in our household. Next slide. God's orders for us to follow another man. When we look at all these examples here, right? Elijah, Moses, Joshua, Jethro, Moses, Paul, Timothy, Saul, Paul, Barnabas, Jesus, his disciples. There's no such thing as a self-made man. Look at somebody and say, there's no such thing as a self-made man. And if you ever meet a man that says he's a self-made man, you're talking to a fool. He's a fool, because anybody, when we go back, if you've accomplished anything in life, we can go back over your life and we will be able to find a line of people that help you get there. And if you're a man of God, we know God is the one that helped you get there. So don't follow a man that's not following a man. So who is the man that you're following? Who's speaking into his life? Is he a lone ranger? See, that's how you end up, for us that have been around a while, that's how you end up on an island drinking Kool-Aid, because you're following a man that is not following a man that knows the man who is God. We're talking about Jim Jones, right? But when a man is left to himself and you just start following man and not following God, these things happen next. We all need mentors, fathers, peers, friends, mentees, and followers. There's 3 categories I'm talking about of people that should be in everyone's life. 3 categories should be in everybody's life. You should have mentors. You need somebody that has already been where you're trying to go. You need fathers in your life. And a lot of, there's different, the Bible says we have many teachers, but only a few fathers. Now, I understand, and these pastors in here, I'm sure, understand this too, that on Sunday morning, people show up at your church, but you're not everyone's pastor. People come to church for all kinds of reasons. And if you think that you are their pastor, you step to them like a father would do and correct his child, and you'll find out you're not their pastor because they won't show up next week. Oh, you'll find out you're not their pastor. And I have to explain, and I had to do this to a couple young men from my church last night because they didn't do what they're supposed to do. If I'm supposed to be your father and you're supposed to be here, you should be here. So then when I correct them, there's a problem. Well, that's not a problem with me because I make it clear I'm not a punk, I'm a pastor. And if you're going to be under me and you're a man, I'm going to have to step to you and tell you some things. If you can't handle that, that's not a problem with me. That's a problem with what's going on inside of you. So we need peers. We need friends. We need people that are on our equal. People that aren't sharp and iron, that we hanging out with, that you like to hang around and you do things. You need those kind of people. And I think it was either Gary talked about, whether you know it or not, you got followers. You got mentees. One, if you're a dad, you know who your followers are. They're in your house. You feed them. They're either in your house or you send in a check every month wherever they live, right? But you know exactly who they are. But you got to understand that somebody's always watching you. Somebody is always, look at somebody and say, somebody's always watching you. Now, you didn't know you, I hope you sat by somebody you like since you got to do all this talking. But we need to understand these things. You always have to have those three categories of people in your life. Amen. Next slide. Be the example. More is caught than taught. Look at somebody else. They probably getting taught. Push the person in front of you and say, more is caught than taught. Mm-hmm. Now you turn around and tell them, you push me one more time, you're going to catch. See, we got to understand that. We got to understand that. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. He's saying, imitate me. Men, I'm telling you that your charge today should be just as Paul, that you are looking at your family and you saying, imitate me. See, there's a difference between imitate and emulate. See, imitate means that you're going to watch what I do, my character, my integrity, all of those things. Emulate would mean you're just going to act like me, like a robot. Well, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to emulate the character and what I'm showing and as I'm showing you God, but you don't lose your personality in that. Could you imagine everyone in here acting like Gary? See, in first... See, 1 Corinthians, I work with Gary every day, and now he's a little sensitive, so, you know, you gotta watch. In 1 Corinthians, in 15, it talks about not many fathers, not many fathers. And many of us, we do not have that father figure in our life that can really nurture us, that can discipline us, that can show us the way that we need to go. There's not many fathers, and there's something about when you look at these categories of these mentees, of these peers, and of these fathers, of mentors, you have to make the decision to allow them to be your father. Selah. I can't make you be my son. We're talking about spiritual sons. We just saw that scriptural principle. I can't make you accept me as father. These pastors, they can't make you accept them as father. You got to see that there's something in them that they are your holy hookup to take you to your next level, and you tap into that. Yeah. And then when you tap in and you know it's a father and you're a good father, you know when they tell you something, it's always going to be for your good, whether you like it or not. That's what a good father does. Philippians 4:9. The things which you have what? Learned, received, heard, and saw. So it sounds like that we got to be walking alongside our children so that they're learning some things as we go, because more is caught than taught. We got to, obviously, they're receiving it from us as they're watching us. You know, talk is cheap, right? Talk is cheap. What they've heard and what they saw, what are they hearing from you? What are they seeing from you? These are the things that we have to focus on. In me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. See, we can cause, by being a good father, we can cause our children to not have to suffer so many things that we suffer. One of the sayings that I have is one of the greatest signs of wisdom is to learn from someone else's experience.
Yeah.
Some people go, oh, the best way to learn is through experience. No, it isn't. The best way to learn is for Kurt to tell me a experience he had so that I don't have to do it. But what's wrong with us, we are all, and this is the thing, I don't care if you call yourself a good father, a not so good father, and you could be a good father and trying to do all that you can do, and your children still go crazy. I can say amen, even if the rest of you don't. They're not going to necessarily do everything that you wanted them to do. But what we have to watch, are they doing just what they saw us do? Learn, receive, heard, saw. Next one. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man, say to someone,
a good man,
leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. He's talking about to his grandchildren. This is what a good man does. And I like this definition of goodness. The state of being good, kind, virtuous, benevolent, generous, and God-like in life and conduct. That is what a good man leaves to their children. And the way they leave that is because we just looked at the last scripture that said they're doing what? They're seeing, they're hearing, they're learning, they're hanging out with you. So that's how this is developed in them. That's how they get the state of goodness, because they're watching you. What kind of inheritance are you leaving? Good being last, because everything has been just tied together. You see how the Holy Spirit has just tied from yesterday, the first speaker, all the way down to myself, how Holy Spirit has tied it all together, and it's all coming together. And it's talking about what kind of inheritance are you going to be leaving? Many men looking at me right now, you're suffering from the inheritance that your father left you. Even if he was never there, he left an inheritance. Some of you have struggled with, maybe you're not today, and if you are, we can pray and you'll get deliverance. Alcohol, drugs, sexual promiscuity, all of these things, that these demons that you're struggling with, all because of the inheritance of your fathers. And it's hard, especially if you didn't know your father. And you're inheriting some things and some struggles, and you don't know why, because you don't know your father. But many are struggling. Gary and I, we deal with young men and older men that are suffering from not having a father. It's heartbreaking, and he's heard this many times, just like I have. It's heartbreaking when young men, you can go to the next slide. It's heartbreaking when young men say and see that the people that were supposed to be protecting them are the ones that actually set them up to fail. Thinking of a young man that he didn't know who his father was, but his mother was on drugs. He was on drugs, and he was getting ready to get out of the in residence, and he had this dilemma because he used to be his mother's supplier. So we see young men that are bowed in tears because they're dealing with the inheritance from their father. The people that should be protecting them, making it a safe place, are the ones that they tell us are the first ones that gave them a drink. The first one that they smoked a joint with. One young man said his job used to be to roll the, what, dobies?
Doobies.
Oh, y'all know all about that. I said it. Oh, okay. Okay. I'm talking to the right crowd. See, but we...
Sorry, Doc.
Yeah. See, we don't understand that we're sending mixed messages that makes us seem like we're crazy to our children. When we say, drinking is bad for you, get me a beer. Don't ever smoke, it's bad for your health, I'll write you a note. When we used to grow up, your parents could write you a note to go to the corner store and get them a pack of cigarettes. When we are doing things and we're saying one thing and our behavior is not in agreement with what we're doing, what we are really saying to them is once you become of age, you can make all of the bad decisions and choices that I make. The dumb stuff I do, you don't get to do that until you come of age. Selah. We got to understand the message that is coming from, because more is caught than taught. So what's the inheritance you're going to leave? Apathy? We heard about that. Are you going to leave Saul's spirit or David's spirit? Are you going to, Gary talked about, just give your leadership away in your household instead of you standing up and being what these men of God was talking about this morning, standing up and being the man that you're supposed to be? Or are you going to take the easy way out and just give your authority away to your wife? What kind of inheritance are we going to leave? Because our children are watching us. More is caught than taught. Next. When our actions don't line up with our words, see? Do you take your children to church or do you send them to church? Because if you're sending your children to church, you're sending the message that church is for women and children. And when you get old enough, you can stay home with dad because that's where women and children go. Gentlemen, I say all these things and we talk about, and I'm a grace teacher. I'm a grace teacher. But holiness is still the standard. Holiness is still the standard. Grace didn't take away the standard of holiness. That's still the standard, and we're expected to adhere to it. Next. My third point here is admit you have fault. Newsflash, everyone around you already know you have faults. They already know. You might as well man up and take responsibility. I'm going to say this, then I'm going to have you do something here. Yesterday, you got to take responsibility for your action. Yesterday, my day didn't go. Pastors know this. You have a plan, and sometimes don't go as you plan. I had a young lady call me, and as soon as I heard her voice, I could tell she was just drained. And she went on to tell me about how her husband had been abusing her, and it was verbal abuse, but now it had moved into physical abuse. I said, okay. I said, I need to talk to him. So I get him on the phone, and I say, hey, what's up? Well, see, what happened was she make me do that when she do this. I said, time out with that foolishness. You take responsibility for your actions. You don't ever have a reason to put your hands on a woman. See, at my church, Woody back there, we got the woodshed ministry. Put your hands on your wife, and we're going to take you out to the woodshed. Next one. Here's what I want you to do in my last 2 minutes. I want you to get with a man you don't know. Get up, get with a man you don't know, because you're sitting by people you know. And I want us all to James 5:16 it with another man. I just said, if you don't, how many of you in here married? If you don't think you have faults, go home and ask your wife. And just ask her for the top five so she don't have to write forever. Get with a man you don't know. We're going to James 5 it. And James 5:16 says this, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So I want you to get with a man you don't know. Each one share a fault that you know you have. And then just take 30 seconds apiece and you pray for their fault. And they pray for your fault. Can we do that? I don't know you.
No, sir. Bill.
Bill.
Yes, sir.